It's been a long time coming, but finally, with Longhorns Athletics ramping up, it's time I finally welcome you all to another talk show edition of Texan Overtime, a daily Texan podcast. I'm your host, Alistair Manliguez, and it's time to get ready for everybody's favorite time of the year, the postseason. With only 3 games left for volleyball and 2 left for football in their respective regular seasons, there's lots to talk about for Longhorn sports, starting on the court with volleyball. With volleyball entering the season as the reigning national champs, high expectations follow. Despite suffering a loss against Kansas State, Longhorn volleyball was on a 13-game win streak, with wins against ranked opponents such as Kansas and Houston. Here to talk about number 5, Texas volleyball, its star players and key factors for the rest of its season is general sports reporter Lauren Hightower, who has been working on the volleyball beat. Welcome to Texan Overtime, Lauren.
Hi! I'm so happy to be here. This is my favorite thing to talk about recently. Like, I love the volleyball team. They're all so nice, and like, they're great players and great people, so I'm excited to be on here today.
So looking at Texas volleyball, what has been a defining moment for them this season?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I think it's just their ability to come back from behind. Like, they've had several games where they've been back and they've been behind in the set, and they've just been able to somehow find their confidence and get the momentum back and come back. Like, I think in the BYU game, they were able to come back from being behind like 10 points. It was crazy. But most recently, the Baylor game, they were down 2 sets and they were able to come back and win 3 sets in a row to win the game. So I just think that that's going to help them go into the playoffs. They talked about how that was their first game against Baylor. And then the next night they had to go back and play them again. They beat them 3 sets in a row the next night. They didn't give up any sets that game. So they were talking about how that's going to help them in the playoffs, because that's basically what the playoffs are. You know, you have back-to-back games, constantly have to be fighting against these teams that are playing at a high level. So I think that that's going to help them move forward. And I think that just being able to come back has helped them.
In their impressive run so far, how important has true freshman Ella Swindle been to this team?
Oh, very important. I think that the setter in general is just a really important position to have a good player at, just because if you have a bad set, like, your hitters aren't going to be able to get on top of it and really spike the ball into the opposite side. So I think that they've really been working with Ella to make sure that, you know, she's starting to build confidence and that she's really connecting with the other players on the team and surprising the other team. There have been a couple of times where she's just set the ball over the net and the other team isn't expecting it at all, or she'll set the ball to Madison Skinner on the back line and the other team won't see it coming. So I think that they're really just working on getting Ella more reps, especially since she's a true freshman and is going to be with the team for a long time. So yeah, she's been doing pretty good so far.
And aside from Swindle, what other players could be the key factors for Texas volleyball?
I mean, just looking at stats, you have Madison Skinner. She's won Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week multiple times. You know, like, a couple weeks ago, it was 2 weeks in a row where she won the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. In the middle of the season, she was averaging around like 20 kills per game. So she's definitely one of their bigger players. She's always walking in with like with her shoulder wrapped just because it's so challenging. But I would say also Asajj O'Neal, she's big on their defensive side. She's a redshirt senior, so she's been doing it for a long time now. But she got Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week 3 times this season already, and she's gotten it 5 overall in her whole time at Texas. So I think I just saw that it was she's tied for 6th most all time out of everyone at UT. So that definitely helps too with the defensive side. I would say that you're starting to see a lot more help. If, like, just going forward in the future, you're going to start seeing a lot more with Singletary. She hasn't had as much of a role on the team, but she's only a sophomore, so I think that as she goes along, she'll be able to be a bigger role in the team. Emma Halter too, she's the libero, and so she's getting the ball up, and you'll see her make awesome, like, one-handed dives and, like, be able to just save the ball and get back there. But yeah, overall, I just think that they've told me, like, it's just working as a team together, like, that really helps them build their confidence. It's being able to rely on each other and know that somebody is going to get the ball, or if somebody's working really, really hard to try to get the ball back in, like, the other person is going to try even harder to make sure that they win the point.
Thank you for your time, Lauren.
Of course.
from centers to quarterbacks, the indoor courts of Gregory Gymnasium to the grass of DKR. We now transition into our next segment, Texas football. Texas football sits at number 7 in the college football playoff rankings. The CFP committee eventually decides who goes to the playoffs, and this is Texas' highest ranking since the creation of the committee in 2014. With this being their last season in the Big 12 before their imminent switch to SEC, Texas football leads the pack with a 6-1 conference record. This includes 4 wins in the bounds since their devastating loss in the Red River rivalry. Talking beforehand of this past week's game against TCU, I now welcome Associate Sports Editor Evan Veith, who has been working on the football beat. Ready to talk about number 7 Texas football, Evan?
Of course, I'm excited.
Texas football has been dealing with injuries all season. Jalen Catalon, Jalen Ford, Jake Majors, and Quinn Ewers, to name a few. How has the team adjusted, and who has stepped up with all the injuries this season?
Yeah, I think, you noted on the offensive line there, and that's one of Sark's biggest recruiting wins has been turning this program into one of the best in the trenches in the O-line and the D-line. And in the last 2 recruiting classes, 4+ star recruits, 2 of them 5 stars. And even with Hudson Majors having some injury problems, this past game, both Banks and Jones were out for points in time. They've rotated between 8 different O-linemen, and you really haven't seen that many problems. Obviously, it's not going to be perfect when you're replacing guys like Jones. There were some false starts from Cam Williams out there, but there's a lot of underclassmen playing on the offensive line and playing really well, and that's a testament to the recruiting. And that's why Sark always talks about the depth of the team, which is really important in college football, and he's done a great job. Connor Robertson's got a lot of snaps. Cole Hudson, Devin Campbell. A lot of guys that are sophomores, a lot of guys that are freshmen. As for Ford, that's part of why you get a guy like Anthony Hill to come to Texas, is even when the best middle linebacker in the country, in my opinion, goes out, you have someone there to replace him. At the safety position, we've had 2 injuries there with Keaton Crawford and obviously Jalen Catalon, which has been unfortunate. But Michael Taft, out of nowhere, leads the team in receptions, really stepped up. And Derek Williams is a true freshman out there playing like a veteran. He is probably the most surprising player of the year for me. He has been amazing for Texas. And I think that's definitely been one of the really, really good reasons why this defense hasn't crumbled, is that the safety position has 5 players that can all play different things. Derek Williams, definitely a good run stuffer. Taft, more of the passing game, but they work really well together, even without Catalon. And lastly, obviously, the Ewers injury has been the most apparent the last 2 games. I don't think Murphy has played up to what we've hoped and expected, if I'm being honest, but that's a lot of times what happens with the guy making his first 2 career starts. And Ewers hopefully is back in time for maybe Iowa State, maybe Texas Tech. They're talking about maybe this week. In general, Murphy has been the guy that they're leaning on, and you can see the flashes of him, especially in the first half last week. So in general, a lot of injuries, but they've only had 1 loss through all of it, which is a very good testament to this team.
How do you think the coaching staff has adjusted to having Malik Murphy out there instead of Quinn?
Yeah, I definitely see in the play calling that Sark wants to still have that full bag that he has. Obviously, that's what Sark's known for. First game against BYU, it was very abbreviated. It was check downs, a lot of running. And this last game, they knew they had to win on the ground. They did. I think it was 200 plus to like 33 for Kansas State, which was awesome. But what you really see is that you aren't expecting him, and they're not dialing up a lot of these 15-yard outs, these plays that ask him to throw kind of across the field, because though Ewers' arm strength might not be as good as Murphy's, the accuracy is light years ahead, and Murphy isn't scrambling at all, which is something that Sark doesn't emphasize. It's never been a thing with his quarterbacks, but Ewers, you saw it earlier in the year, like I think 2+40-yard runs, and Murphy really has been good with the deep ball. I think he's like 3 for 4 on deep balls this year, but you're really only seeing the really far and the really close. They're not really having him expand his intermediate game, which is, that's the last thing you teach a quarterback. So kind of makes sense, but you can see that there's a little bit less work for the quarterback to put in, and more getting Red the ball, getting Jaden Blue the ball, getting playmakers the ball in their hands instead of Murphy.
Obviously, Xavier Worthy is like one of the biggest weapons Texas has right now in the offense. So just how much more can he provide, especially since he not only works on offense, but also on the special teams?
Yeah, this is one of the better special teams units in the country, this Texas punt unit. They have 2 really good gunners in Keelan Robinson and Keaton Crawford, who they block punts. They'll be scrappy. And I think Worthy, there's no argument he's not in the top 3 punt returners in the nation. You got Branch out there in USC who's cooking. But Worthy is one of the most electric players that you can have on a team. And his numbers really aren't showing it. You would have almost hoped he's doing a little bit more this year. Part of it is that him and Murphy have failed to connect. He had 3 straight games of 90-plus yards before Murphy. It just needs to be more of him. And I like the wording you used. Weapon is what he is. Whittington and Mitchell and Sanders are receivers. Worthy's a weapon. You get him in space. He's like Debo Samuel in the NFL. That yards after catchability he has is uncanny to a lot of these guys. He's so good in the open field. I think in general, they need to use him more right now. He's just so dynamic. Probably the most exciting player to watch in the entire Big 12.
So talking offensively about Worthy,
who can be the difference maker or just somebody that Texas needs to utilize more on the defense?
I mean, I think the difference maker is Jalen Ford. I already said, I think he might be the best middle linebacker in the country. Most tackles on the team by far, tackles for loss as well. 3 turnovers forced on the year. He's just cooking out there. He is so, so good. But I think what's really important about this year's defense is, you know, last year was really only Ford as well, but you're seeing Jahdae Barron, Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy, who are 3 of the best players in their position in the nation. I don't think you can make an argument that any 2 defensive linemen are better than Sweat and Murphy. And Jahdae Barron in that nickel star role is really, really impressive. And that's what you love to see from a team, is having that depth. And then recently, Ryan Watts has been really good. The team is so much better when he's on the field. Ethan Burke this last game playing injured with got 2 sacks. He's been a revelation. 3-star into sophomore starter edge rusher. And when Catalan's 100%, he makes so many plays on the field. I think his snaps are pretty low, but his percentage of plays per snap has got to be at the higher one. So right there, I just named maybe 7-8 guys. You add Anthony Hill to that, and you have a full defense that has playmakers. And then the great thing is that I named those guys. There's double that amount rest of the defense that are just more role players. They're there to fill gaps. They're there to pressure the quarterback, play bump coverage. Terrence Brooks is really good at that. But there's so many guys that can make the plays. You're almost a little disappointed that less guys have made turnover-worthy plays. But you see it in the run-stopping game against Kansas State, one of the best running teams in the Big 12. Sweat and Murphy destroyed them, and Barron Sorrell had the game-winning play last game. So there's a lot of guys. I think it's less like with Worthy. I think it's one answer. On the defense, it's a lot of dudes who I think are really, really important to this team.
What do you think the difference is with this season and like seeing Texas being able to close out the Kansas State game?
Yeah, it's a testament. This is something that Sark in his press conferences just loves to say, is they're versatile, they got depth, and they're hungry. I think this is a team that is more cohesive than it's ever been. You can see it on the sideline. These guys are best friends. Like, it wasn't like that in 2021. It was a divided locker room. They've said it. We all remember the infamous rant on the bus. It's really just that this team is really together, and they're so much more polished than they had been. You mentioned it, that this game should have been a game they lost. They would have lost it last year. They would have lost it 2 years ago. Every Texas team since 2009 loses this game, in my opinion. So it's a real testament to the building of the defense, which has come with development. Sweat, Murphy, 3 stars. Sorrell, Burke, I think we're all both 3 stars. That whole defensive line is. It's just a lot of guys who are contributing and knowing that not everyone has to make the play and not everyone has to be the player that wins the team the game. And that's what's been good about them. They're disciplined and they're so versatile that by the fourth quarter, they've had 20 different guys play on defense. So they're not as tired as those guys up front for the other team's offense. And that's really important. And I think it does come down to the defense and the recruiting that Sark has installed.
Thank you for your time, Evan.
Thank you.
And with that, this episode of Texan Overtime has come to an end. I'm Allison Manligas, and it's been a pleasure. See y'all next time. This has been an episode of Texan Overtime, a production of the Daily Texans audio department. Don't forget to subscribe to the Daily Texan on your streaming platform of choice, and follow us on Twitter at Texan Audio. The music you hear is by Blue Dot Sessions. To see even more, head over to www.thedailytexan.com. And with that, thank you for listening.